Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hello and welcome, Army fans. Your Army Black Knights men's lacrosse team has officially become the Patriot League tournament champions and therefore the automatic qualifier from the Patriot League in 2026. We are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about some other sports too. We got all sorts of Army spring sports heading to the Patriot League tournament or the NCAA tournament. We got Dan here in coastal Connecticut. I am down in the great state of Texas. Your host today, James from Brigade Review. We may or may not end up with a guest later to talk a little bracketology. Otherwise, I will do my best impression of a bracketologist. Let's talk a little lax baseball and softball. Dan, how are we doing?
Never better, man. I love the way the men's lax team closed out the season. I'm super excited about it, and I'm excited just to do this show. It seems like every year, everybody in America says Army has one of the best men's lacrosse teams in the country, and then we're waiting on pins and needles to see if they are going to make the NC2A tournament. This year, maybe we were waiting on pins and needles. I don't know. I think they maybe had a good chance at an open bid, but we're not even there. Like, they blew the doors off these guys, and it was rad.
Yeah, and we'll get into it later. After our last episode, Bucknell ended up losing a game to UMBC, which kind of nuked Army's at-large chances. If that's going to enrage you anymore over RPI.
That's insane.
The RPI cut line would have been Army and then Yale afterwards, if Bucknell had won that game. And Yale had plenty of reason in terms of wins and resume to jump Army and RPI there. But with Army owning the head-to-head, that would have been a hell of a call to make. So, a Bucknell-UMBC game on a neutral site in Pennsylvania was the reason that Army's at-largest chances sort of got nuked going into the final weekend.
That is crazy. That's crazy. It's insane. It's like I've described this a few times, but you're standing on a street corner watching two cars hit head-to-head, and you get hit by a flying glass. You have nothing to do with this situation, and yet you're lying on the floor bleeding.
Yeah, it's strange. The Patriot League, definitely a stronger conference on a national level this year than it has been in the previous few years. I think a pretty clear-cut number four conference behind the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Ivy League, with the Big East kind of taking a step back this year. They're definitely a one-team conference in Georgetown. Let's get into it. Can you tell us about our first commercial, Jocelyn Bradley?
Yeah, man, we got to pay the bills. That's why we come out here. So, friends, if you've listened to the show before, you know that we are sponsored by Jocelyn Bradley. She is a realtor in the Fort Bragg area. And if you are about to move to Fort Bragg to join the 82nd Airborne, have we got the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. Friends, she is committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they are in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has re-upped here at Ask for Football. She's the right person to help you get into your home of your dreams, and we need you to buy a house from Jocelyn because that is how this thing goes. So Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So even if you're not going to Fort Bragg, like, reach out to Jocelyn. And she can get you hooked up with somebody, because we know you're moving somewhere. Like, you're in the Army. We all know how that works. So you know, listen, Jocelyn's link is right on our website. Go to askforfootball.com. She's all over the place. You click on her little business card, send her a note. She'll hook you up with a realtor. She'll hook you up with a house. She'll help you sell your house if you're a brag. Whatever, man. Just help us help you. Won't cost you anything. Reach out and you can work with somebody with actual integrity in the real estate market, which I think we all know is a rare find.
Thanks, Dan. All right, let's get into baseball to start things off. Army won yesterday in 13 innings. Mids win the first game today, a 7-inning game to start off the doubleheader. They won 7-4. The final game starts, and it looks like 8 minutes. So Bucknell is a game ahead of Army and Navy right now, which means Bucknell now controls its own destiny. Bucknell is in the middle of its final game. They're in the top of the third. They're tied 1-1 with Lehigh. If Bucknell wins, Bucknell gets the one seed. If Bucknell loses, the winner of the rubber match between Army and Navy gets the one seed. So it very important. They're either fighting for the one seed or they're fighting for the right to host the other team in the semifinal as the two seed, right? Army-Navy game two will also be a 9-inning game, just like Lehigh-Bucknell. And Holy Cross, who Army has not had success against this year, is locked into the fourth seed.
Oof. Yeah. I got to say, it's super important to get that number two seed. I mean, we saw that with men's lax, right? If you have to play the extra game, like Boston University did, you know, they won the extra game, but then they got blown out, they got blown out playing that extra game. That was a killer.
Now in baseball, there's only four teams that make the tournament, so there's no extra game.
But still, you'd rather host.
Home field advantage, last licks for three games. Yeah, absolutely. The Patriot League Baseball Championship will the semifinal round will be next weekend, May 9th to May 11th. They get kind of weird about which days they're going to play. Sometimes they have double headers. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's Friday through Sunday. Sometimes it's Saturday, Sunday. It just depends on final exams, commencements, things like that. And then the following weekend, on Monday, May 18th, after the following weekend, they will start the championship series. So the final series will actually start on a Monday because the Patriot League finishes its baseball season traditionally the weekend before everybody else.
Interesting.
So that affords me the opportunity to start it on Monday rather than on Friday or Saturday. So with that all being said, Army's locked into a top three seed. If they win this game, the worst they can do is second, and they'll either be hosting, if they're the one seed, Holy Cross, or they'll be hosting Navy in a 2-3 matchup at Doubleday Field.
That's tough, man. Either the team that's had your number all year or your
rival in the at least it's at home, right?
Yeah. Probably the disaster scenario is to lose today and then have to turn around and play
and come back at Navy. Right. Yeah. Right.
So
cool. That it for baseball. Any parting thoughts?
I will note that losing in 7 innings doesn't mean a lot to me, considering that they would have lost in 7 innings yesterday. You know, they tied it up in the 9th inning to force extras.
Yeah.
And then won in the 13th. So, you know, the problem is they just quit the game early.
Right. It's and that was introduced into baseball, college baseball, I believe during the COVID era. You could do the front half of a doubleheader as a 7-inning in conference play, or if teams agree to it. So the way it is, I'm sure it's benefited Army at points as well. So cool. Let's move into softball. So regular season is officially over in softball. Army earned the number 3 seed. The four teams that made the tournament are Boston, Colgate, Army, and then Lafayette rounded it out as the 4 seed. Army has won at least one game against each of these teams this year. With that being said, unlike in baseball, in softball, they don't have 2 rounds. It's not a true bracket. They just do a double elimination bracket, the same way that an NCAA regional would be. And it's all hosted by the one seed. So it'll be up in Boston. It starts on this Thursday, May 7th. Army will be in the second game of the day playing against Colgate as the designated away team at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. The winner of that game will end up playing the winner of the first game the next day at 11 a.m. Obviously, it's a three-day tournament, and you can end up playing up to five times depending on how many times you lose and things like that. So it's a lot of softball, and it benefits you to win early and often. Gives you more rest later on. But that'll be May 7th to May 9th. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the championship game or games, depending on who wins the first game, will be on Saturday. But we'll be down to the final two teams by Friday evening.
I will admit that I have watched absolutely zero Army softball this season. They come across my social media feeds, and I know that at least some of the players are doing good, but that is all I know. So
yeah, they've had a couple of no hitters this year. They have one player who set like a single season home run record and a career RBI record. I saw today. Part of the issue with softball is that a lot of these sports that I'm maybe not watching every single time they play, like the soccers and things like that, I will watch when it comes to Army Navy.
Sure.
And Navy doesn't have a softball team, so it sort of is a missed watch point for me. I know their big rival is Lehigh, but
it's crazy that Navy doesn't have a softball team, considering what a huge military sport softball is. Maybe it's not in the Navy, I don't know, but any Army unit you go to is going to field a softball team.
Oh, absolutely.
Any unit.
Right. Now, there's a bit of a difference between throwing 6-foot arcs and fast pitch, but
it's still, I mean,
say rules are effectively the same.
Yeah. It's the same with golf, you know? I mean, imagine not having an Army golf team. Like, that'd be, I don't personally enjoy golf, but it's like the Army's official sport.
I remember one of my biggest takeaways from CTLT between my sophomore, you know, my yuck and my cow year was going to Fort Bliss, and I played for one of the teams, which I was allowed to do.
Yeah.
But I had to go report to an O5 and tell him why I thought I could play for one of the teams. And then I had to like sign a sheet of paper saying that I wouldn't attempt to play for more than one team or cheat in any given way. And this, I'm like, you guys are taking this a little bit too seriously, I think.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
If a cadet has to go report to an O5 just to swing a bat a few times for 3 weeks in El Paso, Texas. But it is certainly going to be a part of all of their lives.
Absolutely.
And I can imagine as a commander of a unit, if I had an Army softball player on my team,
runner out huge. There. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Speaking of running it out there, would you mind running our second bill paying advertiser out there for us?
So, friends, this show is also brought to you by Craig Oxane, area sales manager and mortgage broker at the Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal that he possibly can. And it's important because this mortgage process is freaking confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place. You know, you're trying to get all the other stuff done with your house, appraisals and just legal stuff. Like, there is a ton of stuff to do. And you want to deal with somebody who's going to help you and just be on your side, right? Be an honest broker in the process. And it's just not the time to try to deal with some clown who just doesn't care and wants to make a buck off you. You want to deal with somebody who, with some integrity, who actually cares, not a minus call center, big box bank or whatever. And this is how the West Point network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football. And we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. Plus, and this is important, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a gigantic savings. That's like $1,300. Like, save yourself $1,300. I don't know what else to tell you. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. Again, his link is on our website, as are all of our sponsors. Just go to askforfootball.com. You'll find a little business card there. Click on it, and you'll be in business in just a few minutes. And I'm telling you, everybody, and I do mean everybody, gives Craig 5-star service reviews.
Sweet. We'll actually move the bottom up to here. Quick update for Army football fans on Mikey Stadium. Official word is that it's supposed to be done now by August. So definitely in time for the football season. I'm going to be up there later this month for graduation. will hopefully, I'm trying to work with the athletic department, hopefully get a tour of the new East stands and get some pictures out, try to promote it so that people can see progress, see what it's looking like. Obviously, there's the website as well, but I'm very excited for that, being able to booze during the middle of games.
It's a pretty impressive piece of gear, just to look at it. I was so surprised that they didn't weaponize that thing for the Army-Navy lacrosse game and, you know, just run the core out there in the stands just to show what it would look like. But it's a pretty impressive building.
Yeah, I was hoping originally there was a plan. They ended up not doing that, to pour the cement risers for just the front 4,000 seats for cadets prior to the last football season, so that they could put the cadets there on game days and then keep building behind them on non-game days, which didn't happen. I think, don't get me wrong, there's the ability to sell box seats to businesses in Manhattan. And couple that with a fair development, you know, leadership development group weekend, whatever, right? There's you couple that with. The coolest part of this entire thing is end zone to end zone cadets. The ability, I remember A1 for the longest time was at the front of, like, our seating area was at the front. And as a plebe in A1, we took great pride in researching the opposing football players before the game, finding out personal things about them, using it against them. Like, we took a great deal of pride in that, starting fun chants. And I was very upset that they started a rotation schedule when I was a cow, so that the companies would move through. And I felt like my A1 plebes were getting cheated out of the opportunity that I had. So it will be, I think, a very good thing for the core of cadets to be end zone to end zone. There is no escaping us.
Yeah, right? Sure.
You will hear me yell at a freaking Lafayette O-lineman to stop eating the 120-pound wide receiver's breakfast every morning. Like, that's going to happen every game, and I think that's very cool. No longer will there be cadets stuffed on the 1 yard line up at the top of the bleachers. It ends. I think that is the coolest feature of this new thing.
It's going to be nice just to get the whole stadium back and to have sound coming from all sides again. You know, the last couple of seasons, you're missing a side. So, you know, no matter how loud the crowd is, you know, the sound is just kind of going out towards Lusk Reservoir, especially in 2024. So I'm quite looking forward to it as well.
I'm very excited. All right, let's get to women's lacrosse. Why don't you take us through your thoughts on the game and so far this season, then we could talk a little bracket.
Well, I haven't watched a ton of women's lacrosse. They tend to play during the week, and it's just a little hard to catch all the games, but they had a good season. However, they lost yesterday in the Patriot League Championship at Navy, 17-11. You know, Bridget Duffy had a career day, 7 goals, 1 assist. Honestly, she looked like the best player on the field, but she was by far the best player for the Black Knights. And she needed a little more help out there. Plus, Army's defense just had absolutely no answer for Navy sophomore attacker Alyssa Chung, despite face guarding her. Like, that's a problem. So, you know, you waste a career day from your best player. But Army still headed to the NC2A tournament with an at-large bid. They've beaten some very good teams this year. Rutgers, Loyola twice, No. 5 Yale. Like, they could make some noise in the tournament. It's just, man, Navy's had their number this year for whatever reason. So, and especially Alyssa Chung, like, my God, that girl, she is a good player. So I don't know what to tell you.
Right. All right. So the latest, I am not, I would call myself an amateur bracketologist on the men's side. The women's side has different selection criteria, so I'm not an expert. From what I've seen, the Army women are effectively a lock for an at-large bid. That win against Loyola really shored things up for them. I am bringing up the latest, really only one guy who does bracketology on the women's side is Jeremy. I want to get his name right.
Jeremy's fine.
Jeremy Fallas, there you go, on USA Lacrosse Magazine.
Okay.
So the latest that I have, latest bracket that I have is yesterday's bracket prior to today's action. So there could be some shuffling, but what Jeremy is predicting is that Army heads to the Syracuse Regional to play Princeton, and Syracuse will be playing the Northeast Conference winner. I don't remember who that is. I'm pulling it up. Stonehill. And then those two winners would play 2 days later, against Syracuse, presumably. Now, Princeton did beat Yale today to win the Ivy League. So potentially Princeton could get bumped up, bumped higher than that position, and someone else could filter in, or they have a different matchup, or we get an Army Yale rematch in Syracuse. But all those things are possible. Right now he has Yale going to Annapolis to play Loyola and then play Navy in the next round. So
I would assume that Army would play a conference winner, right? As an unseeded at large bid or whatever.
He did not predict Princeton as the conference winner, and he had Army playing them.
Okay.
Oftentimes the sort of middle of the pack at larges end up playing each other, and a lot of it has to do with geography and preventing flights and things like that. So that's where we stand as far as the bracket goes. Again, the selection show is going to be tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPNU. It'll go from 9 p.m. to 9:30. And then from 9:30 to 10 is the men's selection show, same channel. So 9 o'clock Eastern to 10 o'clock Eastern, block it off tonight. Both Army names, Army teams are not guaranteed, but are going
very
to
likely
be called. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you'll get to see both of the brackets, which will be exciting. Syracuse is the projected 7 seed, by the way. So you go to a top 8 seed to play. So getting the 7 seed in Syracuse is a good, rather than a 3 seed or a 2 seed, is a good track.
I mean, it wouldn't be insane if they come out of that regional. That I don't know if that's expected, but it wouldn't be insane. We've definitely seen them beat teams who were that good this year.
I mean, they beat Yale, who was a top 5 team at the time. Penn State also beat Yale, but they beat Yale 6-5 at home.
Oh my God, what a score!
Right, the Syracuse has 5 losses this year. They lost to Maryland, North Carolina, Stanford, and by the way, Stanford is about an Army level team.
Okay.
Their RPIs are I think Stanford's one ahead of Army. They lost to North Carolina second time in the ACC semifinals, and they lost to Boston College, a decent ACC team in the women's side. Although Boston College is not likely to make they are likely to make the tournament, but worse than Army. So winnable game for sure. It's not like they're going into a top 3 seed and, good luck. You need a miracle. Cool. Any last thoughts on women's lacrosse?
No. Go Army. They got this. Honestly, they've struggled with one team all season. It's frustrating, but what can you do?
Yeah. I mean, and hopefully they're not in that bracket. And shouldn't be based on geography. All right, let's talk men's lacrosse. I know you want to recap the game today, so we'll get into that. Then we'll talk a little bit about previous year's teams versus this year's teams. I have some stats that I whipped up. Thank you to Grok. And then at the end, we'll talk a little bracketology. So why don't you recap the game for us?
Yeah, so the men absolutely steamrolled the Patriot League tournament this year. I mean, it was just shocking. Honestly, if you've watched before, they beat Lehigh 13-6 in the semifinals. That wasn't totally shocking just because Lehigh had played 2 days or 3 days earlier and Army just ran their legs off. But then they beat Loyola 14-7 today in a game that was not remotely as close as that score might indicate. And that is not a close score. Freaking Braden Fountain finished with 5 goals. I think he probably scored 4 of those in the first quarter. Cal Lambert had 4. Gunnar Fellows had 3. Evan and Hill Plunkett combined for 9 assists, which really tells the story of the game, right? The Plunketts, and especially Hill Plunkett, has been one of the top goal scorers for the team this year. So with both those guys just dishing off, what can you do? You're not going to put a lesser defender on them, but it led to all these other guys getting just outstanding looks. And Loyola, they just couldn't guard the Plunkets and keep them from feeding the rest of the offense as well. Goalie Sean Byrne finished with 11 saves, which is really not even a lot of saves. He almost hit 70% on the day, saved several at point blank range. Like, he was a monster out there. So awesome game. I mean, just rad. Had a full infantry battalion from the 10th Mountain Division in the stands, which was also very cool on TV. And those guys were so loud. So, yeah, man, I love it. And it feels like this Army team is finally living up to the hype. If anything, they've exceeded the hype, I think.
Yeah, we need to get excuse the 10th Mountain Division from Buckner training this year and bus them to wherever Army ends up playing in their first round game. All right, let's
wait. Why would Army not host, being a conference champion? Having, you know, like, why are they going somewhere? That's nuts. I know we're gonna get into it.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk a little bit about that now and then get into the differences and then talk.
Let's just stay on the outline.
Okay.
There's a story question for you.
Okay. So let's start with this year versus previous years. I know we've talked a little bit about this offline.
Well, I know what I think, yeah.
Yeah, so why don't you start and then I'll introduce some stats later.
So the biggest difference for me between this year's team and previous year's teams is that they're playing their best lacrosse at the end of the season. And previous years, I thought they maybe peaked a little early, and then late in the year, they just didn't look as tight as they had maybe in, you know, mid-April or whatever. And this year, the team, they look the best that they've looked all season in the most important games of the season. And that's the biggest thing that I've seen. I don't think they have more talent. I just think that they are using that talent correctly and that they are playing their best when it matters. And we've also seen a slight shift in offensive philosophy. In previous years, Army often looked for an outside step down shot. This year, these guys are just moving the ball until, you know, they draw a slide and then they pass to the open man, get a high quality look. And I mean, elite ball movement from this team this year, just elite ball movement. And, you know, they always talk on every game, let the ball do the work. I mean, that's almost the analytics of lacrosse, right? But several opponents have tried to counter them by clogging the middle with a zone defense, including Loyola today. But they end up seeding these step-down shots from outside and giving these extended offensive possessions, which is a disaster. Again, we saw that today. And then, you know, before, in previous years, it felt to me like Army wanted to out-muscle teams. This year, they might still do that, but this team is trying to set up the extra pass to set up that unstoppable shot. And plus, you know, final note, they have elite conditioning. They've run everybody into the ground. So you see these giant second half scores because the other team is just tired. Army is superior athletically on the field.
Quick timeout. Gonna cover some baseball real quick. Lehigh scored in the bottom of the third. So we're in the fourth inning now. The Mountain Hawks are up on the Bison 2-1. It's still the top of the first down in Annapolis. Army started the game with an Overbeek walk, a Bar walk, a Schreck single to load the bases, a flyout where everyone advanced and scored a run, a double that scored two runs.
Oh, baby.
Another walk, and then a single. So now we're still one out in the inning, bases loaded, up 3-0. So things now, looking good early down there.
So let's just note that Navy used a lot more pitchers in that first game than Army did.
They did, although Army used its best starter, its ace, as well in game two. So we will see how our number three pitcher ends up in game three. But
okay.
I don't necessarily mean to say he's the ace, but he has the lowest ERA this year. So for whatever that's worth.
That's a surprising way to do it. I mean, you think you would throw your best arm first and save your second best arm last, or the reverse of that maybe.
Typically what teams do in these short series is they pitch their number two guy first.
Yep.
And if you win with your number two guy, you save your ace for game three. And if you lose with your number two guy, you throw your ace game two because you got to win game two.
Yeah.
And then the one caveat on that is there was a championship series recently, maybe it was the semifinals last few years, where Army was up by so much in game two after having won game one that they ended up using their ace for like five innings of relief in the second game.
Interesting. So I don't remember who it was, but he pitched 9 innings. And then I think they went to Overbeek for the last however many to get to 13.
Berg.
Yes. Berg. Yeah. He pitched either 9 or 10 innings yesterday. So that's huge. Like, right. That's enormous in terms
of. And of course, Andrew Berg's older brother, Derek Berg, who was a catcher for Army a few years ago, is with, I believe, the Brewers minor league system.
Right. I'm so glad you mentioned that because I was going crazy. I knew the name, but I was like, can't surely be the same guy. All right. Okay.
Cool. Back to lacrosse for a second. So I'm going to bring up some stats here. Excuse my click. All right. So in 2026, Army is scoring 6.6 goals on average in the first half and 6.4 goals per average in the second half. So effectively the same. And if you take out some of the highs and lows, you take out the biggest,
outliers.
Outliers. You end up where it's basically the same. So there's a couple of garbage time games where they score less in the second half. And of course,
I mean, we had garbage time games the last two in the Patriot League championship, but okay.
Right. So their offense is fairly consistent throughout the game. Right. And to compare that to last year, their offense was better in the first half. It was 8 down to 6 in the second half. Now, they're still scoring 6+ on average in the second half. It's just that they were a little bit more explosive towards the beginning of games last year.
I think they played but they also played a lot of garbage time last year.
They did, which generally means the offense was a little bit better last year. And remember, the Patriot League had a lot more anchors last year than they did this year. So
yeah. I will agree that they had more talent. I mean, they had what's his name who graduated and went on to play really well in the pro. Well,
they had the short stick defensive midi, and then they had forward. I'm blanking on their names.
Somebody yell at us in the comments.
Please. Cool. Then so then let's look at goals allowed. Last year, Army allowed 3.8 goals per in the first half and 3.6 goals per half in the second half.
Yeah.
Pretty solid, right? Three and change per half. This year, they allow almost 5 goals per half in the first half.
Yep.
And then normal down to 3.5 in the second half. So really what that's telling me is, you know, you lose what's his name?
AJ Pilot.
AJ Pilot as your defender. You still have good talent there, but it's a lot younger, and it's taking them a minute to adapt to the game on defense, right?
Yeah. Well, last year they had AJ Pilot and John Sullivan. You know,
right? And now they have John Sullivan, right?
Yeah.
Now there are new guys who are. I mean, they have a 5-star recruit, Theodorakis, who's I believe a freshman right now. Who will come in and fill that role, but they're not quite there yet. But they are doing very well adjusting. The one thing you can always credit Alberici for is that his second, you know, he always seems to do better in the second half. He always seems to be able to turn it around, even if it's a slight thing. And that's this year, that has been a defensive turn, is what the stats are telling us. It's about a goal and a half per, and that seems to make the difference, right? Now, there are outliers like the Yale game. There are, of course, outliers. Yeah. But even if I take out those outliers, it's still about a goal and a half to 2 goals difference between the first half and the second half.
I got to say one other thing that – go ahead, finish it.
No, please.
Okay, so the other thing that I think I've seen is that they're better in the clearing and the riding game both. They've cleared so well all season, especially against the 10-man, mm-hmm. to the point where teams didn't even want to play them in the 10-man because they were dunking so many goals against that. And the ride game today and the last two games was just insane. I mean, I think it was Colgate through the entire third quarter couldn't even get out of their defensive
end. That was Lehigh. Lehigh had like 5 failed clears in the third quarter.
It was insane. And that just the time of possession difference killed them.
So here's the thing. So I went on the NCAA lacrosse stats website, right? And so this doesn't include games today, But Army is effectively a top 10 defense in the country in terms of goals against.
Yeah.
They have been
since the beginning of time. But
Right. They're right outside the top. I think they're tied 11 in terms of offensive goals. Now that's not adjusted for strength of opponent and things like that. But you know, they play in a better than average league. And then you start looking at some of the other things. Their man up offense, one of the worst 20 in lacrosse. Their man up or man down defense, one of the best in the country. The one that I thought was very interesting, though, let me pull it up here, was I'm going to pull up. Yeah, here it is. Opponent clear percentage, or maybe it's just opponent clears per game. They're also very good at assists.
That's that ball movement.
We'll yes.
The extra.
Cause turnovers per game. They're number 16 in the country.
Yeah.
So one last thing I want to touch on stats-wise. Army, despite having, you know, a number 11 offense, if you look at on Lacrosse Reference's website, offensive efficiency by length of possession, very interesting. Army is one of the worst teams in the country on short possessions and one of the worst teams in the country on long possessions, but they are one of the best teams in the country on medium lengths. And the splits there are 30 and 60 seconds into a possession. So if they're up against the shot clock, not very good. Transition, not very good. But what? Running,
really? We've seen that transition games. All right. I don't know if I believe that, but okay.
Maybe others are just really good at transition.
I don't feel like I've seen that, but okay.
The Army is like I believe a bottom seven team in short possessions and a bottom.
Man, I don't think I've seen that.
Let me pull it up.
I find that hard to believe.
You're going to hear my keyboard apologies.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm going to filter it out using the power of Podcastle AI.
There you go. Okay. By short possessions, Army is 20th.
That's top third.
Top third. But I'm sorry. That's medium possessions. Medium possessions. That's what I was looking at first.
Oh, okay.
In long possessions, Army is 40th.
Okay.
Not horrible.
I mean, I guess what I've seen a lot is that they're not trying to work the shot clock very often. They're trying to set up a shot. And if it comes at the start of the possession, fine. If it comes in the middle of the possession, fine. And once they get down with 10 seconds left, it's still the same play. You know, they're still working it around, trying to find the open man. And if the defense plays it, then the defense plays it.
Now, on the other side of the ball, I'm going to be very interested to see how Army's defense plays against a seeded team. And this will be a good transition into talking about seeds here in a second. We saw today Loyola in the first half try to utilize some picks to score against Army. Army did not want to slide. They were doing everything they could to not slide, which is very characteristic of Army.
Yeah, that's what they do.
How is that going to play against a Syracuse or a Cornell whose offense is far more talented than we'll get that in a second. Far more talented than Loyola, right? So that'll be something interesting to watch. And we just had a comment. Thank you, Company Athletics. Jack Quinlan just hit a grand slam, and now the inning is over. So we're in the bottom of the first, but it's 7-0 Army after half an inning. Get a Bucknell score update for you. Still 2-1 Mountain Hawks. We're in the top of the fifth. Nobody's out. We're at effectively the end of the fourth.
And this is going to be the longest show in Astro football history so that we can go to the end.
If both of these results were to hold, Army would be the one seed and host throughout their time in the Patriot League baseball tournament. Okay. Back to lacrosse. We talked about seeded teams. Dan, you had a question. Why don't you reframe your question so that we can talk about hosting?
So, okay, how do you win the Patriot League tournament? And okay, they lost a game to Lafayette, which I would argue that most of the teams have dropped at least one game that they probably shouldn't have dropped this year. I think that's pretty common in college lacrosse. I mean, being perfect is very difficult, right? But they, outside of that, it's been an excellent season. And what do they have to do to become a seeded team? I mean, they lose by one goal to the number three team, win the Patriot League tournament outright, beat, you know, the breaks off of a ranked Loyola team twice. I mean, what else can we do here?
I am going.
Why are we traveling?
I am going to look at this real quick and switch around the Army Lafayette result and see what I come up with.
Okay.
If Army had beaten Lafayette, I think. Now they're still probably not a seed.
That's insane. That game didn't matter.
The other problem is, so remember.
So wait, let's just rant for a second. This college lacrosse, they've built the thing where the regular season wins and losses don't freaking matter.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And you could go ask any, you know, you could go ask any power conference team, you know, fan of a power conference lacrosse team and say, hey, who won the last 5 years against this other team in your conference?
And they don't know because they don't care.
I could probably tell you the teams that Army has lost to over the last five seasons, right?
Oh, Boston University.
Boston every time. Colgate last year in the semis. Navy, we lost two times to Navy. I don't know if that was five and six years ago or 4 and 5 years ago, but it was
a while around since that they lost time.
And there might have been one other loss in there, right? One or two other losses in there, but it's usually Boston. So, but I can tell you that because in the Patriot League, generally speaking, your regular season does matter.
Yeah.
But in the ACC, it doesn't matter, right? Because Duke can go schedule a bunch of nobodies and end up getting in the tournament because they beat one ACC opponent and they beat a nobody who snuck into the top 20. So this is part of the problem. Remember that in the NCAA, the selection committee for this, they're going to group your wins into top 5, top 10, and top 20 pools.
Right.
And then in terms of losses, they really don't care about losses unless two things happen. Well, really three losses matter. Head to head against teams you're being compared against. If that loss came against somebody outside of the top 20, and then number three, if you have more losses than you have wins, sub 500 teams can't make it into the tournament. That's it, right? So with Boston losing to Lehigh, Boston actually dropped outside of the RPI top 20, which makes both Lafayette and Boston, you know, extra top 20 losses, right?
Yeah.
So the committee is not looking at, well, you lost to RPI 53 and you lost to RPI 21 or 22, whatever Boston is. They just see a two in the loss, in the bad loss category, right? So
that sucks. Yeah.
That sucks. Now, the reason Army isn't hosting, and even let's say we switch around the Lafayette one, is that you're going to, generally what happens is they take RPI and then they'll look at those win buckets, right? And so the teams that Army's being compared to for a seed, so to speak, and let me switch it back. Let me switch that game back to Lafayette winning. Okay. Army's RPI is 11th. So to get a seed, they'd have to move up to 8. So they'd have to pass three teams. Behind them is Yale. So, okay, fine, right? We'll say that's their floor because they beat Yale.
Okay.
They'd have to beat Duke, who has no bad losses, and whose win profile is better than Army's because they have a win against UNC, who's a top 5 RPI team.
And well, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Cool. And they don't have any bad losses. They'd have to pass Johns Hopkins. They're not passing Johns Hopkins because Johns Hopkins has great wins and they don't have bad losses. And then there's the big question for this year's bracket, which is Penn State. Penn State has 3 bad losses to Army's 2 because they lost to Towson, Michigan, and Navy.
Right.
Also, there's probably not a team in the country with better wins than Penn State.
Yeah,
Penn State has an insane win bucket. So Penn State's kind of the question. But Army would have to pass all 3 of those teams to get a seed, and it's not going to happen.
I guess my thinking on it before we started talking about it was, you know, how can you not be hosting a tournament game when, you know, we were talking about getting an at-large bid less than a week ago. But when you do set it up as, well, they're seeded number 11th, I think 11th is fair in the country, to be honest with you. And it's 16 teams. So obviously the bottom 8 are kind of go to the top 8. I guess, you know, like it or not, that does make a certain amount of sense.
Right. Now I just switched the results. So if Army had beaten both Boston and Lafayette, they're sitting at RPI number 5 with their only loss to North Carolina, RPI number 4. Sure. So they're probably, not only are they definitely a seed, they're a 5 or a 6 seed. They're probably the 5 seed, but.
Well, okay. I feel like we were a long way away from that.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's, you know, that's.
That's a one loss Army, right?
Yeah. Right. At that point, everybody in America is saying Army's one of the best teams in the country and blah, blah, blah. Who knows?
Right. Cool. Let's talk bracket. Our friend is still working on his bracket, so he won't be joining us.
But alas.
He's given me all the info. What? I'm going to pull up my little bracket here.
Doing a lot of research here today. This is a very mathematical show today.
of the sort of conference winners that wouldn't be in the tournament had they not won their AQ, right? So Albany, Jacksonville, Georgetown, Stony Brook, Marist, Robert Morris, and Army.
I would take Army running away from all those teams.
Yes, and they will. The issue that you run into is that we have to worry about geography for making the bracket. The biggest question in the bracket right now is 7, 8, 9. So the 7 and 8 seeds and the first non-seeded team are going to be Virginia, Penn State, and Johns Hopkins. Virginia is probably, even though Hopkins has the head-to-head, Virginia probably has the wins to make them 7.
Okay.
And then it comes down to Penn State or Hopkins for the 8. Most of the minds think Penn State, but who knows? Which means that that Princeton is going to get the winner of a play-in game that Army won't be in. Notre Dame is going to get the winner of a play-in game. Those are your top 2 seeds that Army won't be in. The number 3 seed is going to get Albany. That's probably North Carolina, and that'll be one flight. They get 2 flights, and the other flight is a play-in game to Notre Dame. Yep, we're getting there. So there are your top 3 seeds, which means here are the rest of the seeded teams Army could end up at. Richmond 4, Syracuse 5, Cornell 6, and these might not be exact, right? They might be Syracuse 4, whatever. This is just a projection. Cornell 6, Virginia 7, and Penn State or Johns Hopkins 8. Duke is in the tournament as an unseeded team. They're probably going to Richmond because going anywhere else means they're either playing their own conference, which they'll avoid, or that it's a flight. So Duke to Richmond seems locked, which means we're not playing them. Virginia becomes a travel liability, which means Hopkins probably goes to Virginia or Penn State, whoever's the first out, goes to Virginia. And then you end up with what I think will be Penn State, Cornell, and Syracuse. And the 3 teams that will be traveling to those teams are Georgetown, Army, and Yale. So you got to figure that out. And you can't put Yale at Cornell because they're conference mates.
Well, that makes it sound like Army's going to Cornell and not Syracuse, which I definitely thought I was going to hear 5 minutes ago.
So Syracuse, by virtue of getting a higher seed than Cornell, if that's what happens.
Right.
If Syracuse gets a better seed than Cornell, then Cornell will get, or Syracuse will get the right to host the worst AQ, which will be Georgetown. So it would be Georgetown to Syracuse, and then
Army. That's a long trip. Army to Georgetown Cornell. To Syracuse is not around the corner.
Under 400 miles, they can do whatever they want. They only get 2 flights a year over 400 miles.
Okay.
Yeah. Because under 400, the NCAA will bus you. Over 400, they'll fly you.
Dude, that is a long trip.
Yes. So Georgetown to Syracuse and Army to Cornell and then Yale to Penn State. Amtrak, yeah. We're going to stick the Yale lacrosse team.
That Army to Cornell trip is not great, but I've done that a few times and it's not that bad.
Army to Cornell?
Yeah.
I mean I forget which is further west, Ithaca or Syracuse, but it's in the same general area.
Well, my best friend from high school went to Cornell, so we went out there to visit him once. Plus, we swam at Cornell twice on Thanksgiving, So yeah, I've been there a few times. Beautiful campus.
Let me look up Ithaca to West Point here.
It's about 4 hours. So I'll save you the trip.
Yeah.
Save you the trouble.
Just over 3 hours. And Syracuse is going to be the same way. So,
yeah. So,
like going to a Patriot League game.
Yeah. It's doable. It's a long bus, but it's not that bad.
Yeah. And they'll have plenty of time to get there because they won't be in a playing game. So they can leave whenever they want. So I guess the point is because Army is probably going to be above Georgetown in considering the AQs, Army will get the worst seeded out of Syracuse and Cornell, which is likely to be Cornell. Now,
well, it's Syracuse is going to do everything that within their power, including sacrificing goats to keep Army from coming into the dome.
Syracuse fans are hoping to God it's the Hoyas right now. Yeah. There's the other side of this, which is the committee can drop a bomb here. Like the committee can say, we're going to punish Duke for playing the worst non-con besides Hampton University in the country and leave Duke out. And then you're getting either Harvard or Maryland in, and that'll blow this all up. Right now, now Army's locked into Cornell because Harvard's got to go to Syracuse or Harvard's got to go to Penn State or whatever.
That's another nightmare for the Qs.
Right. Or Maryland gets in and Maryland can't go to Penn State. So Maryland's got to go to Cornell and Army has to go to Penn State. Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, right. So that all sort of changes things. Army could theoretically end up at Penn State, Cornell, Yale. And then if you want to add some other ones there, if they leave Duke out, it's not a flight from Army to Richmond. It's not a flight from Army to Johns Hopkins if Johns Hopkins gets a seed. So those are probably the five places they could go. In order of likelihood, I would say Cornell, then Syracuse, then Penn State, then Johns Hopkins, then Richmond. That would be my guess.
Well, that's, I mean, just based on drive time, that's probably about where you want to be, right?
Right. Yes. So. You want Cornell or Syracuse first, and you want Hopkins and Richmond last.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. What other groundskeeping do we have bracket wise?
Nothing, man. Let's move on to our mailbag.
You've got mail.
You know you weren't getting away without hearing it. Okay. Mike Davis says, and with apologies, we got two mailbag questions in the 30 minutes we'd put this show together, and they were both football, so go figure. Mike Davis says, group thoughts on the conversation we had last week in the Firsty Club about Service Academy players getting a shot at the NFL. He notes that Heidenreich and Robinson were both drafted in the seventh round from Navy, while Short and Thomas are getting undrafted free agent chances from West Point. I feel like we came to an accord on this, but what do you have to say, James?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is it's got to stop changing every 2 years, but I don't think there's a solution to that. And I think it'll continue to change every 2 years.
That's unfortunate. But
I was sort of the lone wolf in the group, but I think it's a bad deal for the taxpayers. I don't think that the people that are being like, I think the ideal is the inversion model where you do three active and five reserves instead of five active and three reserves. And that sort of does two things. Number one, marginal players that are just going to ride practice squads are not going to be considered NFL talent after 3 years in the Army. So it takes sort of the marginal guys that don't offer you, you know, advertising ability or whatever we're saying is the ad for the taxpayer. It takes them off the table. And then number two, you get to put all sorts of restrictions on what what your reservists for 5 years are doing. Like, okay, if you want to do this, fine. But on game days, you're showing up to the stadium or the arena or whatever in your uniform, and you're leaving in your uniform, and you're doing post-game press conferences in your uniform. Like, that's part of the deal here, right?
That'd be really interesting.
Like I don't like I can
that understand. Could go off the rails so easily with somebody who hasn't reported to a unit in like 5 years.
No, they'll have to be part of the World Class Athletes program or whatever, and fine. But the big thing there is that I want two things. Number one, when you say I'm in the military and I'm playing a professional sport. I'm in the reserves and I'm playing a special. I want that to mean something. I don't want you to be, you know, a fresh out of college graduate who's done nothing but go to the academy. And now you're playing for a team advertising, recruiting for the Army, but having never done the things that you're trying to get people to recruit to do. And then number two, so I want the sell to be better. And then number two, I want the wash out. I want really special players to be able to do it, like the Villanuevas. And I would like for Villanueva to have done it 2 years sooner, but I want the Villanuevas to be able to do it, but I don't want guys riding practice squads for 8 years and then reporting to their unit afterwards, which isn't the policy anymore, but reporting to their unit afterwards, being a 32-year-old second lieutenant who's had his back broken by playing linebacker in the NFL. Like, that's not a net add for the taxpayer.
Okay, so I think that there's nothing wrong with deferring service. And in fact, you can be a 34-year-old second lieutenant. We've all met that 34-year-old second lieutenant who, for whatever reason, just showed up late and it's fine. There's not a damn thing wrong with that in the entire world. Plus, you got to go to the basic course and relearn how to be in the
Army. But hold up. I'm not saying that it's not a good deal for the military to take a 34-year-old and put him through OCS. But it's different when the taxpayer has already made the deal. Like, we are paying for your education to get a 22-year-old hard-charging infantry officer, and now we're not getting a 22-year-old hard-charging infantry officer. Instead, you got to go ride practice squads for 8 years, and you're a 32-year-old infantry officer, and it's not the same thing. I'm not going to pretend like it is.
All right. I don't know if I agree. But fair enough. I agree with you that we need to have some stability with the policy, whatever it is, and that everybody would learn to live with it if it was just one thing. And that's the biggest problem.
Right. Well, it's even worse because the service aspect of it, the law, the Title 10 basically says the service aspect of it is whatever the service secretary wants to do, the service secretary can do.
That's insane. Yeah.
The Secretary of the Army and the Secretary of the Navy and Secretary of the Air Force can all do different things. They can make it a deferral of service. They can just make it all reserves. They can do whatever the hell they want. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, that's definitely the worst solution. Okay, so moving on. Brian Brennan says, with Cale Helms in the number one spot at quarterback, are we going to wind up with another quarterback by committee disaster this year? And I'll just answer this one quickly. Quarterback Bryson Luter is a rising yearling, 5'11", 206. He's the current number two. He was in a red non-contact jersey in the spring game, which means that the coaching staff was pretty committed to him being a solid number two instead of looking to see what he could really do in the spring game. Just based on what I've seen in previous years, if you're out there in the spring game in a red non-contact jersey, then that means that they think that you're going to be a player. So I think if Helms, for whatever reason, you know, goes down or just doesn't end up taking all the snaps, that Luter is solidly in there, at least until Ethan Washington comes back and gets a chance to compete. So, no, I don't think we're going to get quarterback by committee failing something unexpected.
All right. Speaking of being solidly in there, Dan, can you tell us about our newest sponsor?
Yeah, friends, Greg Iannicelli is our newest sponsor, and he owns Warriors Fitness. And there is a reason you don't need another workout. You need a coach who's an expert in fitness and proven protocols, but more importantly, someone who's survived total mental and physical collapse himself, who's pulled himself out of the fire and rebuilt himself stronger and better than ever. Greg is a West Point graduate, class of 97, Army veteran, successful enterprise sales executive, and an IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now the founder of Warriors Fitness Physique. After losing everything, marriage, identity, confidence, physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level coaching. Then at age 50, just last year, he became the overall classic physique bodybuilding champion at the Masters Nationals in Las Vegas. Guys, he won the national championship, won his IFBB Pro card proving it's never too late to become the warrior you were meant to be. Today, Greg's mission is to coach men and women. Now he's taken women who are struggling to stop drifting in decline and resurrect themselves mentally, physically, spiritually through his online coaching program. If you are ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, and your warrior ethos, apply to warriorsphysiquefitness.com and start writing your own comeback story. As a special note, Greg offers all active duty, military, veterans, and first responders a 15% discount off his 16-week transformation course. That's a pretty amazing course. AFF Firstie Club members and or West Point grads get a massive 30% discount on that initial 16-week fee. And guys, just like everybody else, Greg has a business card up on our website. Go to askforfootball.com, click on the little Warriors Fitness thing. You'll be talking to Greg in, you know, a couple of days. It is too easy. It's just too easy. So back to you for favorite thing. And I hope you got one because I do not.
We'll just give a baseball update. So Lehigh's still up 2-1 in the top of the sixth. So Lehigh is 10 outs away from winning that one, but only has a one-run lead. So that one is the close one. Army just scored another run on a sac fly in the top of the second. Got through the bottom of the second unscathed, so we're heading to the third up 8-0. Obviously, still 7 innings to play in that one, so anything can happen in 7 innings.
I'm going to stand by my statement that they are running out of pitchers.
Let's hope. I mean, here, let me pull up. Let me see if they have how many pitches the guy's thrown. He's at 73. He's about to throw his first pitch of the third inning, and his pitch count is it 73 for Navy?
Yeah, so, this one could get ugly.
If it isn't already, and hopefully it gets uglier.
All right. Friends, thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll have good news for you tomorrow. Not that we'll be here, but you heard it here first. So anyway.
9 Eastern tonight, ESPNU.
All right. Go Army, beat Navy, and beat everybody else.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football, Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!